This is a replay of the Thursday night, April 27th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evening unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I got a lot to talk about, but whatever's on your mind will be on mine. All you have to do is call 888-876-5593. That's 8888 Raleigh. And we got 3 hours to spend together. So couldn't pass up mentioning Jerry Springer, although I was very, very sad to hear that he passed away. Pancreatic cancer, which is one of the cruelest, because by the time it is diagnosed in most people, if it hasn't been found by accident, it usually is well too late, as was the case with Jerry Springer. So died today. And it sort of had me walking down memory lane. Last time I saw Jerry Springer in person was about 2005, and I was at a dinner. It was the strangest dinner ever, because talk about John and I didn't belong there, but we were the guests of somebody dear to us, and it was a dinner put on by a liberal talk radio network, I kid you not. And so, are we out of place? I tell you what. And John is sitting next to, the guy who, he was actually in office for a while later, but he used to write for Saturday Night Live. I can't think of his name. But anyway, on top of it all, in walks Jerry Springer. And I'm standing there, and he comes over to me, and he says, "It is so good to see you again." And John said, "When did you last see him?" I said, "I don't know." And I was certain that I had at some point in my Cincinnati days, but that was so typically Jerry Springer, in that he obviously recognized that I was someone he knew. And what? No.
Al Franken.
Oh, Al Franken was the guy. No, you can't mouth things to me because I can't see you. All right. John came. It was Al Franken who was sitting next to John, and that was that was quite the thing. But here's Jerry, and ever the politician, and he was so Cincinnati. In fact, he died in Chicago, but I was a little surprised because, I mean, I know where his shows originated, but I would have thought that he would have gone back to Cincinnati because he was just perfect all the way around. The most infamous when he was on the city council and wrote a check, two of them actually, to hookers, and I believe one of the checks bounced. I'm not 100% certain on that, but by 1974 it was all over and he had to resign and all that. But later he was appointed mayor for a minute and a half and all this, and ran for office, I think governor, in 1982. But he was always the showman, no doubt about that. And it was, if you knew him, it was hard not to like him. And again, I didn't know him by any degree, but our paths would cross very, very infrequently and, you know, always at an event or whatever. But you could tell that beneath all the bluster was a pretty good guy, but clearly a showman. And I think all the talk that's going on about him and all the memories of his shows are absolutely appropriate. And I was thinking, you know, he certainly wasn't the first. And I think I mentioned this before. I was listening to, years ago, an NPR interview. I don't know who was doing it. But the guest was an old carny guy, a guy who had put on the county fairs, you know, all across America forever. And the host lamented, you know, it's so bad, the passing of the Midway. And the carny guy, without, you know, missing a beat, said, "What, are you kidding me? The Midway is not gone. It's on daytime television." And this is easily 30, 40 years ago. And he was so right. And I thought to myself, yeah, Springer won the first, and Morton Downey won the first, although those two always come to mind. The first, arguably, was Joe Pyne. And he was just wonderful. And he would have, whether it was going to be, can't think of his name either, but the guy from Frank Zappa, whether it's going to be Frank Zappa or Jerry Rubin or what have you, they were all out there, but they were also people who found Noah's Ark or you name it. And one of the bits on the show was the beef box, where you'd stand up on the beef box, and very often Joe would turn you into mincemeat in the process. And it was just wonderful. And he's a guy from Chester, Pennsylvania, and he did radio as well, but his television show was national for a while and syndicated. And so I loved it. And so arguably he was the first. If you can think of somebody before who had any national presence, oh man, I remember Christine Jorgensen on him. And you name it. And other people called him a hustler and a bully, but again, beneath all that was a showman. And in fact, one of the guys who wrote either a number of columns or a book about him said, "I thought I'd go on a show and beat him at his own game, but I blew it." That's right. Yeah. "I spent my time talking about the issues or civil liberties or all that." He talked about America. The trouble with Pyne was he was really, really good at what he did, and it was true. Died far too young, lung cancer. But I remember once he had said something to Frank Zappa, and it was one of those, you know, absolutely uncalled for questions. And Zappa wanted to know if he took off his wooden leg when he made love to his wife, and you know, things like that. And then there was another time where he had Zappa, and Zappa said something else to Zappa, and I think it was something like, "Does your long hair make you a hippie or something?" or whatever, you know, something like that. And he said, I don't know, "Does your wooden leg make you a table?" So just classic stuff. But Zappa was one of the few who ever got him. But I think he was the king of conflict, definitely. And none of this, for the most part, I mean, you could say with Pyne that it was very political, but in a way it wasn't. It was, you know, just as much, like I say, going to be lifestyle. It was really, in some ways, I thought it was a humor show, but, you know, that wasn't meant to be the case. People named Phil Donahue, and I don't know, I never thought about him as a controversial host. Likewise for Sally Jesse, I never thought of her. Now, Jenny Jones, sadly, the only problem with Jenny Jones is that one of her guests on the show murdered one of the other guests later, and I think it was same-sex secret crushes, and there was a gay man who told an associate, they brought them both on the show, that he had a crush on him. And so the guy he told went on the show knowing that he had a secret admirer, but he had no idea that it wasn't a woman. And at the time, he wasn't upset by the news. He said he wasn't gay and all that. Well, anyway, I think he wound up killing him. And so that pretty much was the end of the Jenny Jones show. Of course, it was revealed that he had a history of mental illness. And as I say that, you know, rarely is Dr. Phil on the list, but I think he should be. You know, Maury Povich, Chuck Barris. Of course, that's humor all the way around. But Geraldo Rivera. One you never hear much about anymore, and it was he was really more of a radio host, and I loved him, but Les Crane, he was terrific. And in the early 60s, Nightline with Les Crane was on ABC at 1 in the morning, and he was, to say the least, cutting edge. And he was actually the first host in the United States to interview the Rolling Stones. And when Bob Dylan was first starting out, he appeared, and all sorts of stuff like that. Malcolm X. So a lot of guests like that you would expect. His show died a painful death a couple of years later because they moved him to compete with Johnny Carson. And that didn't work. So as I say, you know, and then you got Morton Downey, enough said, and Jerry. So, yeah, the passing of Jerry, he was absolutely an original all the way around. And, you know, I read a lot of the obits or part of them earlier. And what surprised me, maybe I just missed it, maybe it was in some of them, but there was that other side of Jerry Springer, like I say, who was a really good guy. And he had a mentally disabled daughter. And he doted on her and thought the world of her and made sure that her life would be as good as it possibly could be. And I think when it was all said and done, you looked at things like that, and this was a good guy. We lost a good one. But 79 years old, and from the very beginning had quite the life. He was born in Great Britain. His parents were from Germany, and they were in some type of a camp for people who had been rescued from the Holocaust, and I think many of his relatives succumbed to that, but they were in Great Britain, and that's where his mother gave birth to Jerry, and then they moved to the States about 4 years later. So then he got to Cincy after, I think he was in Tulane, and you know, he had a law degree and all this kind of stuff, but truly, as far as I'm concerned, wasn't born and raised there, but a Cincinnatian all the way around. Yeah, lots of colorful stories about Jerry Springer, so rest in peace. All right, so Ken is in Chicago. He's going to kick it off tonight. Welcome to WGN Radio, Ken. Oh, wait, let me get the magic twanger out. There we go. How's it going, Ken?
Good, Raleigh. Good evening. How are you?
All right, thanks for calling.
Yep. I worked in radio in Chicago at NBC at WMAQ.
Oh, I was an engineer. I'm laughing already because, of course, didn't they hire him and like two news anchors quit?
Yeah, on the TV side. I worked on the radio side with Morton Downey a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And Morton Downey, you could never, you know, I know you called Jerry a showman, but Morton, he was never off.
Yeah,
he was always on, and he had this crust that you just could never get to the human being side of Morton Downey. And I have many friends still today that work over at NBC that worked on Jerry's show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're devastated, and they mm-hmm. all said that he was just a genuine guy.
Yes.
Just really, I mean, what you saw on television was not who he was, and he really was concerned about people, and he was a good friend to many of them, and just a great guy, like you said.
Yeah.
And we did lose a good one. So my friends today, talking with them, they said that they're really sad about his passing.
Yeah,
so he was a good guy.
And I agree wholeheartedly. As far as Doc Downey, and I'll always call him Doc Downey because that was his radio name when he was a top 40 disc jockey. You know, his father had been an old-time crooner, and he kind of grew up in his shadow, and he was destined to make it at any cost. And what was so funny to me was how many times he reinvented himself, whether he was trying to record records, oh, they were terrible too, and or whether he was on the air trying to, you know, be a top 40 disc jockey, and he was mediocre at best, or he damn near lost a radio license, actually. But you know, he just had that drive. I think what you're saying, where you're saying this isn't a real person underneath it, I think that, yes, what you saw was exactly what you got, because there wasn't any more depth than he wanted to be a star.
Yeah, he, you know, don't want to talk about the dead in a bad way, but he was very egotistical. He always controlled the conversation, even in between breaks, if we were talking in between commercial breaks. He never, ever let you have your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite opposite from what Jerry Springer was.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it was, every time he would come into the studio to start his show, you just got very nervous. You just never knew what to expect, if he was going to be crazy that day or if he was going to be a mellow guy, which I never saw a mellow side to him. but just never ever saw a genuine side to Morton Downey Jr. Well, ever. Never saw a genuine side to him.
I think if you scratched underneath the surface, you'd find a very insecure individual. I think he was absolutely tormented. And again, his father had been, you know, big time Irish tenor, and his mother was an actress. And he really just was driven to make it and came close. But even with his, you know, shock jock shows, never did. And so I think, you know, when you say not a real person, unfortunately, a very real person, exactly what you saw was what you got.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just wanted to give you my 2 cents.
Well, yes, I'm delighted that you called. Thank you.
Have a great night.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, and his parents were not on the shocking side, Doc Downey, to say the least. So, yeah, but I've yet to meet anybody who knew Jerry Springer who didn't like him. You know, even when he was Peck's bad boy doing the stupidest stuff, and he's the only guy I know who ran for office who actually used passing a bad check to a hooker as a plus. You know, well, I'm a real guy. Yeah, I guess. So, you know, I'm sure everybody who knew him has tons of stories. But beneath it all, there was just a warm human being. And we lost a good one in him, I think. So rest in peace, Jerry Springer. Also noticed that it was Gene Galvin who did the was the spokesperson announcing his death. And Gene was Jerry Galvin's brother. I think they're both still alive. Jerry was an ad guy in town in Cincinnati, and he was hilarious. In fact, if you were a public radio fan, you'll remember his show. It was on for almost 30 years. It was first called Talk Back, and then Talk Talk, and then later he had his brother Gene co-hosting it, and I think it was the Idiot Galvin Brothers again or something of that nature. But the entire show was based on a scam, a faulty premise, no truth to it. And much like later Phil Hendry, when he'd throw his voice and, you know, have characters and all that. Well, this was long before Phil, and it would be the most outlandish thing. And then the callers were split, much like Hendry's show, where half of the people got it and were in on the game. The other half were just outraged. And it didn't surprise me that he came up with that idea, because originally, while he was an ad man, he did the concept of Plummet Mall. And, this was where you're going to have your big savings underground, big hole in the ground anyway. But I won't belabor that. Though it's a fascinating story, and you can read all about it. But bottom line is, he had all of Cincinnati searching for this underground mall, which, of course, didn't exist. So that was the power of radio, yeah, and theater of the mind, truly. So that's the deal. But, Jerry Springer. And did radio, of course, as well for years and years. And most recently, I never saw it, but for about 3 years, he had a Judge Jerry show, and I guess it ended in 2002, last year. Never saw it, but I'm sure going to look for it. So that's the deal on that. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. The bumpers tonight, you got to get an explanation here. John came to me and said, I got a request. And so I said, yeah. And he mentioned the line of a song. And he said, whatever it is, I want to hear it. Oh, I know that song. And then as we talked about that, there were so many others of the same theme that he said, just do it all night. So we will. You'll hear the first of the themes, not a bumper stumper. I'll explain the whole thing. Coming up next, then we got Chuck in Rockford, and we got room for you too, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Who stole my girl from me?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Tavares. I love Tavares. And who done it? So when John said he wanted to hear it, you betcha. 1977 on Capitol, and yes, it was a hit. But it's kind of going to kind of be in that vein, detective songs mostly tonight. Why not? There are so many good ones. Yeah, I usually pick out about 11 to play in an evening, and it wasn't hard to come up with a dozen right away. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, I was talking about Doc Downey before, and, you know, his dad had been this big Irish tenor and all this kind of stuff that he never gave up trying to have a hit record. And I've got so many of them, and one is just worse than the next. And when he got into the death songs, well, you know, it was working for everybody else. I mean, if Ray Peterson can have a hit, anybody can. Well, not apparently Doc Downey. But there's one, The Ballad of Billy Brown. Maybe I'll play tonight because I read a thing about it online and someone said they thought it was an early Karen Carpenter on it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's Harvey June Vann. And it was done in Nashville. But anyway, I might share that with you. Or HMS Montel's, yeah, Don't Bring Me Down. Or, well, on and on it goes. So, Johnny D. in Ohio, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rochelle.
Yes,
indeed. What are you supposed to be named, Rochelle?
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be Raquel, but my mother thought it didn't sound American enough. It's a long story. It wound up being Raleigh.
I remember you.
Yeah, right. And it wound up being Raleigh, which, you know, they didn't realize there was going to be an internet, and almost everybody wants to put the E before the Y and doesn't understand why I don't answer their emails.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have did the same thing if I didn't find your website.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know how I did it, but I found it.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so anyhow, let me think here. What was I? Oh, yeah, I told John I wanted to talk about Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
But not, you know, not really. There's a couple of things. I was going to ask about Jerry Springer. But anyhow, but what do you call him? You call him Mort Downey?
No, that's a different person. Before,
no, I understand I know who Jerry Springer was. Right. I know who Mort Downey.
Well, Doc Downey, because when
I'm 71 years old.
Okay, so when he became Mort Downey Jr., but as a top 40 disc jockey, he was Doc Downey. So
Doc.
Yeah, DOC.
Like Doctor.
Yeah, Doc Downey.
Yeah. All right, well, I didn't know about that because...
I was there for years.
When was that?
Oh, I would say from about 1960 to about 67, 68. Yeah, he was when he was at WFUN, it was so funny. They were, well, not to Charlie Murdoch, it wasn't, but he was competing with Murdoch, and he gave out Charlie's home phone, this was 1964, saying that you could call right now and talk to Jerry and the Pacemakers. Okay, so, Charlie...
All right, well, 64, yeah. I was in, let me see.
Who cares?
I don't know, fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah, well, whatever. Doc wasn't, and neither was Charlie, and Charlie's wife at the time was pregnant, and they got thousands of phone calls, so Charlie actually turned him into the FCC. It took a few years, because Charlie was already in Cincinnati by then, but the FCC dinged WFUN, gave him a fine for it.
Hmm. Well, here's the thing. I seen that Mort Downey show.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, huh? But
uh-huh.
See, because I remember this. Didn't he smoke constantly on his show?
I think he did.
Yeah, I mean, he'd light a cigarette and he'd do it. And as soon as that one went out, he'd light another one, you know, if I recall correct. So I was wondering, what got him? What did him in?
Lung cancer.
Okay. I was wondering.
Well, and some medical errors, because what had happened to him, he was being treated for pneumonia, and this was like the mid-90s. And while he was being treated, they discovered he had lung cancer. He ultimately had one lung removed and then about a third of the other lung, but in the process, they damaged something other than a lung pretty seriously. And so, it was not good. But he was a chain smoker, but I think more than that, he was, you know, on that show, I think he was deliberately blowing smoke into the faces of guests. It was more of a bit, but he was a chain smoker.
Yeah, I remember that. You know, that's one thing I remember.
But, you know, he made it to 68. He wasn't that young when he died.
All right, but here's one you forgot. of all these shock jocks, whatever you call them.
On television now. Who do I forget?
Television. This is the one I'm thinking of.
Who?
The one that I used to really enjoy. Billy Cunningham show. Did you ever see that?
Oh, yeah, but that's later, and that's not shocking. I mean,
he was funny. He was good. Yeah, Billy, on that show.
I thought it was a well done show as well. And I like Bill Cunningham. I like him personally. You know, I don't ever listen to him anymore just because I don't find the time. But I did see that show a couple times, and it was well done.
He was good. He was good at stuff.
Yeah.
But he talks about it now sometimes on his radio show. Because I don't know if you recall. I like to listen to him. I listen to the replays of his show. I follow his show, you know. Anyhow, so then he'll talk about when he used to do his show over there from, I don't know, Manhattan or something.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And he says he used to be able to walk, you know, talking about how he wouldn't even go there now, in New York.
Well, I don't think it's that much difference now than when he was walking there. That show wasn't that long ago.
Well, he's been not doing that show for a while now.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not talking 40 years.
Well, anyhow, he said that he was just describing the neighborhood or wherever it was, you know, recorded at. And he was, I think, I don't know if he lived there for 5 years.
No, he commuted it because he was still on the air in Cincinnati as a radio host on WLW.
Right.
But that show debuted in 2011, so we're not talking that long ago.
Okay, well, I used to watch it, because I remember watching them.
Yeah.
You know, when I used to have to, you know, go over my dad's house during the, you know, somebody had to be with my dad, you know, in the latter years, you know what I'm saying?
We gave you something to watch.
And I used to watch Bill Cunningham's show over at my father's house, you know. And my dad used to enjoy him, too, you know. It's not that my dad couldn't have been by himself. He could have been, you know. But my brothers and sisters, they wanted, you know, somebody with him all the time. Because my mother was gone, you know. So, anyhow, okay, I wrote that down about more than I'm trying.
Okay.
And then, Jerry Springer paid the hookers with a check?
Yes. Twice. Twice, not once, twice.
Well, you know what? That brought to mind something. You know, because I was kind of like a wild and crazy guy in my younger days. And there was this, on my way home from work, I was noticing that there was this one of these massage parlor places that opened up.
Yes.
And so, talking to my buddy at work, and anyhow, he said that, you know, he had stopped there, and he was explaining what happened to me and this and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, heck, man, I'm going to stop there myself. So I did. And I wanted to pay with a credit card.
Well,
they wouldn't take it.
I'm sure.
They wouldn't take my credit card.
Well, I don't know how long ago this was, but at that point, there are many times until fairly recently where the credit card companies wouldn't allow them to process them.
Well, they didn't even have a machine.
Well, that's right. They didn't have a merchant account, is what they didn't have. Of course not.
I don't know. All I know is.
Well, yes.
My buddy got away with he paid cash or something. I don't know.
What?
So that's what happened there.
Well, all right.
But anyhow, now listen. Here's what I want to ask. But that's not what I called about, Raleigh. I have a little bit of time here?
Well, why not? I mean, I lost control of the show 3 minutes in. Go for it.
Well, here's what I was wondering. Because I was thinking about this a couple of times, you know, since we talked about it. And this was a while back. But I had mentioned one time that I'd gotten new glasses and I got new lenses in the glasses that, you know, really didn't cost me anything because that's how my insurance works.
Yes.
You know. And so then you said to me, boy, I don't, you know, good for you or something because you have to pay $1,400, I believe you said. $1,400 for that. And I'm thinking, what's she getting? Hubble telescope lenses or something?
No, I'm getting prisms. But that's neither here nor there.
What the heck's a prism?
Well, when you really can't see, they have to do different things with optics so that you don't see things in triplicate, or you don't see things in the wrong direction, or you have some idea where something is with regard to depth perception, and they make use of prisms. Why do you care? Why do you care? It's just expensive, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking, what kind of lenses cost
$1,400? Yeah, they're actually more than that now, but that's part of it. But yeah, you'd be surprised. And you'd also be surprised, actually, if you're willing to pay a bit more than that, how thin they can appear. And that's the real trick, because you don't want to wear glasses where they are an inch thick. You want to wear them where people don't notice it, where they're thin. And that's where the money comes.
You must have a real good optical place.
No, I mean, ophthalmologists, I've used many over the years. So I'm actually in search of a good one right now. John and I were talking about that today. But, some of them have been good, some of them have been not so good, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is I'm not always walking into walls, and I can, you know, pretty much see. Now, I wouldn't say well, but I can see.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's good. But
yeah.
I didn't know that you could get lenses that cost that much.
Well, I say, you can get them. I'm telling you, I have one pair that was a lot more than $1,400, but these things are thin. You would not know it.
And well, that's amazing. That's good magic.
Right,
like that.
Right.
Like magic.
It is like magic. And, you see, they can't do as much in America because our FDA or whatever doesn't allow for certain thinnesses. There's things they can do in Europe that they don't do here. So they have to go about it differently. But they can get it done now, but it will cost you. So that's the deal.
Well, I don't know. Mine are just, I don't know. Talked about a click. I had to get new lenses because he said, this is what the guy said. He said, or the girl, I forget. She got, it went up, you went up two clicks.
All right.
I said, what the heck are you talking about? You know, I didn't know what they meant by a click. But it's like, you know, when they say you can't, you know.
Well,
like you have to
if you're correctable,
pick the machine up or something.
If you're correctable, that's all that matters. And the problem that you may face in the future is cataracts, because most everybody does if they live long enough. But other than that, as long as your pressure is good, you're good to go.
Oh, my pressures are good. Man.
Excellent. You got no complaints then, and good for you.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Now, I wanted to say this, all right? This is about a song. Well, firstly, I like John's choice to the Who Done It.
Yeah.
You Stole My Baby.
Yes.
I like that song.
Well, it'll be all of that all night. In fact, I'm about to play another one. So what song do you want to hear?
But, you know, it brought to mind the song, It's Smile in Your Face All the Time, I Want to Take Your Place.
Backstabbers, the OJs.
The OJs. I want to request that.
Okay, it won't be tonight, but I will write it down and play it next week.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I want to do this. Well, I've been meaning to call and ask for this.
Okay.
You know, could I talk or are you going to hang up?
No, I think it's time to hang up.
Okay.
Call me next week.
Talk to you later.
Okay, good. Okay, bye. All right. So we got Stacy in Algonquin. We got Chuck in Rockford. We've got Room for You Two. And yes, along the lines of Who Done It, we've got Kidnapper coming up on WGN Radio.
Back to me, kidnapper, you got me in misery. The FBI is on your trail, Elliot Ness.
is in my pain. He swears to get you if it takes all day.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, a Beach Music Anthem, Jewel and the Rubies, 1963 on ABC Paramount, Kidnapper. So, yes, we'll continue with our theme next hour and the ever after as well. We got Chuck in Rockford, who's been hanging on for all hours. So, Chuck, the floor is yours. Go for it.
Oh, okay. I guess the Jerry Springer, I watch him once in a while, but I was almost afraid to watch him too much for fear I could get hooked on him.
Well, that's a compliment to him.
Did he create a lot of those scenarios himself, or did he have other people?
He did have a...
It really took some producing to put a lot of that stuff together, and orchestrate all the...
Yeah, he had a staff.
It's like putting on a play, really,
right.
I suppose.
Right. No, he had a staff who would certainly do all the legwork, but a lot of the concepts and ideas were his. But it was like any other, television show that was national. It was a pretty big staff. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, he was a very clever guy.
I used to watch wrestling when television first came in,
sure.
Like Vern Gagne and some
sure.
of those guys.
Sure.
And that was completely different from what they've got on now. It's just like a bunch of clowns,
right.
jumping around. And,
right.
But anyhow, I wanted to mention something about diabetes, and I had... done some volunteer delivering of meals way back when.
Uh-huh.
And I had one deal where a guy was diabetic and I had to find him, at this place where I was delivering his meal. And I guess you know what ACE manages are.
Sure.
And it's very common, that a person with diabetes has trouble with circulation.
Of course.
In the seat.
Of course.
And this, I think, merits people that have diabetes to do some theater of the mind so that this mishap wouldn't happen to them. The guy told me that he was had his feet in some water, and was running hot water into the container.
Uh-oh.
And he kind of just lost track of things.
Uh-oh.
I guess he didn't have much feeling.
Right.
And when he looked down, he said all of his skin was floating on top of the water.
Yeah, no, that's from neuropathy. No, oh my God. Horrible.
And I think they had to amputate one of his feet, in the deal.
Oh.
But horrifying. I don't know what he was like before, how bad off he was before this happened to him, but I'm kind of thinking that probably shortened his life by quite a bit too.
Well, you got to take this seriously.
Down.
Yeah, take this very seriously when you're diabetic, and that's why I said that to Stacy last night. Don't let it go, and don't think it'll heal on its own. And watch what the heck you're doing. Yes, you can be fine, and you can live a long life and do very well. But you don't have the luxury of letting things fester. You just don't.
Yeah, I'm type 2, and I had a lot of friends that were type 1, and they just, no matter how hard they tried,
it's a different disease.
Couldn't prolong their life,
it's a different,
really got
right
a job ahead of you.
It's a different disease. It shouldn't even be called the same disease. Type 1 is an autoimmune condition, and it is a case where your pancreas is not producing insulin, so you're dependent upon exogenous insulin forever. With type 2, you're still producing insulin. Your body just no longer recognizes it, insulin resistance, and there's a number of things they can try to do about it. But either way, peripheral diseases, whether it's your hands or more often your feet as well, as vision issues, you got to be really careful about that. I'm glad you brought it up, because there are people who probably are thinking, oh, it'll be fine. No, better safe than sorry. You've ended the hour. Call me again soon.
Yeah, will do.
Okay, thanks. Sure. All right. In fact, we will talk to Stacy next hour, and there's room for you, too. Whatever's on your mind, and we've got the tabloids, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Jowl.
Dick Tracy.
Why he's the arm of the law.
Dick Tracy.
Well, he can prove what they say.
Crime doesn't never pay.
Yeah.
Now, who's the guy who always seems to get his man? He's tough enough to catch a bullet with his hand. He doesn't have to sweat to get him, you know.
He gets him with his two-way radio. Dick Tracy.
He's got a bulldog jowl.
Dick Tracy.
Why, he's the arm of the law.
Dick Tracy.
Well, he can prove what they say.
Crime doesn't ever pay.
Yeah.
Now his men are called retouchables. They're brave and bold. But look at them, you wouldn't think they'd catch a cold. But when Hemlock Holmes is leading them, there's just no doubt. For criminals, it's Roger Dodger over and out. Dick Tracy.
He's got a bulldog jaw.
Dick Tracy.
Why, he's the arm of the law.
Tracy.
Well, he can prove what they say.
Crime doesn't never pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Coco Gomez likes to treat him rough and mean. He pounds him like a Mexicali jumping bean.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Chants. 1961 on Verve. Dick Tracy. 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. So we have King Charles battling mental illness, but I'll get to the doomsday fungus ravaging America before the show is over as well. That's right, the fungus among us and more. But Stacy is in Algonquin, and today would have been her anniversary, so that had to be a tough day. How are you doing, Tracy? I mean, Stacy. Stacy.
Oh, can you hear me
yes,
now, Raleigh?
I hear you fine. So how are you doing
okay.
today?
How are you doing?
Well, doesn't matter. You tell me how you're doing.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine.
Good. Excellent.
Today would have been our 49th anniversary.
Wow. Wow. So tomorrow's 50 years. I mean, next year at this time is 50 years. Wow.
I know. It's a bit... It's so funny how it's...
Yeah. Well, you were.
I don't know, like everything just... when you're younger, it seems like everything goes slower.
Well, of course. We talk about that all the time. I joke that the third grade took 6 years.
I know.
It did, absolutely. If you remember in early grade school, summer vacations lasted forever.
We could wait to get out.
Right. And then it would be all summer long. It felt like it was a year. And then Christmas vacation seemed like they were forever. And I mean, those days when you were in school from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon just seemed like it was eternity. And the older you get, the faster it goes. And
I know.
I think I know why. I think I've I figured that out a while ago. Not that you can do a damn good thing about it, but let's face it. When you're 2 years old, one year is half of your lifetime. When you're 50 years old, 1 year is one fiftieth of your lifetime. Of course, you know, it's all relative. I mean, good old theory of relativity. Oh, my God. I know scientists would just fall over with that definition. But be that as it may, it is. The older we get, the faster time goes. And as you're discovering now, you knew that when you were in your 40s and you knew that when you were in your 50s. But after you hit about 60, 65, it seemed like it took off in warp speed.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, I know. Where does it go? Where do the years go?
Now I figure, well, this is the second part of my life. Okay, and now I'm widowed and single again, but it's going to be fabulous.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure I get healthier and have more friends in my life, and hopefully God will bring me more angels.
Well, yeah, right.
And, you know, my nephew, Christopher, he is going to be a trucker over the road.
All right.
He's getting every license, so I think that'll be very good for him.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It isn't like it used to be back in the day. He'll be tracked within an inch of his life. He'll never be alone on the road, that's for sure.
I think he'll like it, though. I think he's going to get everything, all of the licenses.
Sure.
So I think it'll be good for him because he and his wife are getting a divorce.
Mm. Well, sorry to hear that.
So...
All right, so he'll be on his own on the road.
Yeah, yeah. And, no, who was I going to... No, and I watched a lot of Jerry Springer. I used to watch all of his shows.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, he had a lot of different shows, though.
Of course. Of course. Everybody remembers the ones that were so shocking, but it was a lot more than that.
Yeah, wasn't he a judge at one time also?
Well, I don't think he was never a judge, but he was on the city council, and he was mayor for a while. In Cincinnati, the city council appoints the mayor, or at least used to. And so the second time he was on the city council, he won by a landslide the second time, they appointed a mayor for a year. So from 77 to 78, he was mayor. And then and the first time it was, I think he got in 71 and then left in 74 after the bad check to hookers episode. And then in 82, he ran for governor. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so somebody else who's researching him will know this better than me. And I think he talked about running for the Senate while he was doing his television show. And didn't John Chish came in here, what?
Didn't he have a Judge Jerry TV show?
Oh, well, the Judge Jerry TV show. That was maybe that's what you're talking about.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Yes, he did. He did have a television show. He wasn't an actual judge, but he did have a television show for a bit. I think it just ended last year for 3 years.
Yeah, I watched his shows.
Really?
You know, for many earlier years. Yeah, not current, but years and years ago used to watch all the shows and stuff. And
right. So yeah, Judge Jerry. It was kind of like Judge Judy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, was that kind of a thing?
Yeah, you don't mess around with Judge Judy.
Right. Well, that's right. So. that was the deal. And so he was never a judge before the show, but I think that part of his requirements for doing the show is he had to take a course to become a certified judge, because like all those shows, like Judge Judy, the judgments are legal.
Right.
So he had to do whatever it was to get the blessing from the grand poobah of judges or whatever. And so... That was the deal. But no, he was never a judge off screen. On screen, absolutely. And you know, it was your usual used car salesman or who's the parent or whatever. You know, that kind of thing.
I don't know. And sometimes with the stars and stuff, it seems to come in threes. I don't know. It was Harry Belafonte. Okay, and who else died recently?
Well, I'm trying to
besides
think.
Besides Jerry Springer.
It seems like there have been so many this year.
I know.
There have been a lot of them. But as far as this week, well, of course, you know, earlier in the year, everybody from Lisa Marie Presley to Jeff Beck. So.
Right. Right.
But that's now been a couple months. So David Crosby, for people who might have cared, or Burt Bacharach. But, you know, Burt Bacharach, my God, he was in his 90s. So it was a life well lived, to say the least. I think Richard Belzer died, and, of course, Raquel Welch. And that one was startling because virtually nobody knew she had Alzheimer's. And, let's see, Bobby Caldwell, the singer, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. Sadly, he died. Robert Blake, we talked about him because everybody I know, including me, thought he was long dead. So, trying to think. There are others, I'm sure, you know, like you mentioned. Al Jaffe, the cartoonist, but that wouldn't necessarily be somebody you'd know. So I don't know. As far as this week, I think there are others, but nobody who would be well known that I know of this week. I think it's just Jerry and Harry, and now who's going next?
But John still sounds good.
Yes,
so
yes, he's definitely
okay.
John is definitely among the living, and he damn well better stay that way.
Oh, I know. He sounds good. He sounds good.
Yeah. So.
And I just wanted to call today and just tell you to have one. You and John have a wonderful, wonderful, and safe weekend. And did we hear from Scotty at all?
No, and like I say, it's not until I've got somebody who's going to go in mid-May to try and check it out. I'm very worried about Scotty. I have not heard from Scotty. We also haven't heard much from Detective Chuck, and I hope he's doing all right. All I can figure with that is that I think that he was a little earlier to bed than, because on the East Coast, the show's from 11 to 2. So I think there are some people who just don't stay up, and I understand that.
Right. Well, me, I'm always up and down and but you know, I'm okay even with the I always watch the medicine and make sure I check my insulin and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, I've been doing pretty good with my diabetes. When I went to the doctor, my numbers have been going down and everything.
That's great. That's absolutely great. But whenever you have any,
I made all of my doctor appointments.
Yep. No, it's great. It's great. But whenever you have anything going on with an extremity, particularly your feet, you run to the doctor, and you're going to do that.
Oh, I am.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. You know, I told you it was the anniversary. And,
yes.
You know, sometimes it's hard, Raleigh, but I try to keep it together.
Well, absolutely. And just take care of yourself and don't sweat the small stuff. You know, it doesn't matter if the power goes out. It really doesn't. So
I was pretty good with that.
All right.
And then it came on, and it was just a crazy.
Don't let it
phase
you.
One wire was on top that fell down. Then the second time, it was underneath the ground, but they took care of that. And but I was okay. I had my little lanterns and everything, so I'm prepared.
Well, very good. All right. Well, you have yourself a good weekend, too.
I think that was it. That everything's okay. My nephew's going to be a trucker.
Yeah.
And I think that.
All right.
It.
Well, then
we
have
very,
concluded.
Very blessed and safe weekend. You and John and everybody.
And you too.
Stacey's blessings.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Definitely.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it. All right, so we'll get to Elizabeth in Rock Falls and Room for You, and we'll definitely get to the doomsday fungus that's threatening America. Medication can't stop the spread of the killer spores. Yeah. All right, so, you know, if you've got nothing to worry about, give me some time, and I'll fill your head with all sorts of tabloid nonsense. Coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, the Fabulettes and Mr. Policeman, 1965 on Monument. Henry Strzelecki wrote that, and Ray Stevens actually was involved in producing it. So a fine little record. And the Fabulettes had previously been the Marvels, the group from Miami that had Go On and Have Yourself a Ball. Yes, indeed. 888-876-5593. We'll get to the Fungus Among Us, but we've got Elizabeth in Rock Falls, actually. So, Elizabeth, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
What's up?
I want to correct some misinformation I gave you last week.
Uh-oh.
I told you that Don Cherry sang at our prom.
Yeah.
In 1956.
Yes.
Well, I talked to one of my classmates, and she said, no, it was 1955, okay. And it was an after party that the parents gave at the Elks Club here in town.
Okay.
And so I said, how do you remember that? And she said, well, it was my first date with the guy that she married.
Wow.
And the little story that went with that, she said, his mother had told him, you ask some girl to go to the prom this year.
Yeah.
So he thought to himself, I'm going to ask the prettiest girl at school, and I know she'll say no, and then I can tell my mother I don't have to go. So he called my friend and asked her, and she said, oh, I'd love to go. So that was their first date.
Wow. All right,
but
so
it was John Cherry. So 1955.
Well, 1955 is when Band of Gold was out.
I know.
And
I know.
So we're talking big, big hit. Now, did your friend have any insight into how the heck they wound up getting Don Cherry to do this?
No, she had no idea either.
Wow.
No idea, and I can talk to a few others and see if anybody remembers.
Yeah, that's the fascinating part. Rarely do you get a guy who is on top of the pop charts nationally to come sing at the prom.
I know. I just can't figure that part out. And I can't even remember who I went to prom with that year. I asked her, you know who I was with? She said, no, I don't remember that.
Well, obviously, I'll tell you what. It might not have been wonderful, but it also wasn't awful. Because if it was truly awful, you'd remember everything about this guy.
That's true.
Yeah.
My senior prom, that was the man that I married then.
Wow.
About 4 years later.
Wow.
But anyway, I also talked to you about my poor rescue dog, Chubbs.
Yes, and mm-hmm. Chubbs, of course, has a weight problem, the part collie. So how is Chubbs?
Well, we went to the vet today, and he had lost 3 pounds.
All right.
And that was wonderful.
Yes, yes. Now, other than being a Chubbette, is Mr. Chubbs healthy?
Yes, they couldn't find anything else wrong.
Excellent. So
happy to go, happy to be there, love the vet.
Good. We'll just continue to starve him, and it'll be fine.
No, that's what's so hard.
Yeah.
He's just always begging.
Well, you just have to spend more time playing with him and getting him non-edible toys and all that and distracting him. Invest more time. Walks are good. Yes, that's right. Pet him a lot. You know, I mean, sadly, it'll take more of your time, but you can do it.
Well, we've got about 10 more pounds to go.
That's not bad. You can do that. I think Mr. Chubbs is going to be fine. You just need a new name for him.
I started to call him Chuck because
okay.
The Chuck gets his attention.
Right.
No matter what.
Right. Well, we'll think of some others. But in the meantime, yes, just spend time with him and apologize for the fact you're starving the animal.
It's awful. Right. I feel so guilty.
I know, but don't. You're doing it for his better good.
I know.
That's right. All right.
Well, to hear about this fungus.
Yes, I will. Doomsday threatening the entire country. All right. So I'll fill you.
One more thing to worry about.
Of course. Exactly. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Bye-bye. So. And it's a form of candida. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's find out what's going on in the world of large. I do think we will have fungus-free news coming up on WGN Radio.
Coming down the boulevard late one night on my way back home, when I spied this guy on the corner, thumbing all alone. As I passed on by, I heard him holler out, "Hey," he said, "by any chance, are you going my way?" I said, "Well, sure, hop on in, buddy, and give me a cigarette." He reached into his pocket, and that was the moment that I regret. He hollered, "Reach for the skies." And I said, "But I don't seem to understand." And then he told me, he said, "Just don't try no monkey business, 'cause I got the stopper in my hand." And then he said, "Now this is a 38 pistol I got here, built on a 45 frame. It shoots a tombstone bullet on a ball and chain." He said, "Now I ain't trying to shake you up, but I just want you to know that if the cops start closing in on me, are you the first to go? So just drive on like ain't nothing happening. And when you get to that red light, I want you to fake like you're going to your left and jump back to your right." He hollered, "Reach for the sky." And I said, "But I don't seem to understand." And then he told me, he said, "Just don't try no monkey business, 'cause I got the stopper in my hand." He said, "Now I want you to turn up in the alley and cool it behind the liquor store, and keep a sharp lookout at all times while I slip in through the back door. And keep one foot on the gas and always be on your guard, because when I come running out of there with that money, I want you to mash on it real hard."
He said, "Now don't try to pull WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, Boogaloo and his gallant crew, who of course is Ken Harris, the multi-talented Cops and Robbers, 1956 on Crest. Yeah, wonderful song. And the flip side was Clothesline, Wrap It Up, that the Coasters stole almost line for line and made it Shopping for Clothes. Yeah, but eventually Kent got the money. Not that there was a whole lot of it for that song, but he was just so talented. So that's Cops and Robbers as we continue with the theme that John picked out tonight. John in Covington, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, my grandson's doing better, but he's not coming home just yet. I don't know if you remember me calling you.
Yes. Mama came home and grandson a couple weeks because born premature in the hospital now. So what's the latest? When is he projected to come home?
He didn't get enough nutrients from the placenta, is why they had to take him early.
Okay.
C-section wise.
Okay.
His glucose levels, they want to get them stabilized.
Okay.
And then he has to weigh, he weighs 4.4.
Okay.
And they want him to weigh 6 before they
release him.
Correct.
Yeah.
The WBAI thing?
Yes.
Yeah. I went ahead, I figured it out, and it was like 28 cents a day, and it was like, okay, I can do this.
Okay.
But, and I didn't mind doing it, but good. So I made the pledge, you know. And by God, I made that pledge, and I'll be darned if they didn't try to hard sell me for that much every month.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
And it's like, just be glad you got this.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Yes. I agree, but of course they'll do that.
Oh, and then the other thing before I let you go is, Jerry, our public radio station here in town, I try to get it, and I don't know if it doesn't exist anymore or not.
Oh, no.
Anyway, Jerry Galvin was on there quite. Oh,
yes.
He is so funny. Oh,
I think
my goodness.
I think so, too. They were
anyway,
just the best shows.
Yeah, our call letters were WAIF.
Right, of course.
Yeah, I don't know if they still exist or not.
He was on AIF first, and then I'm trying to think of the other callers, because he went somewhere else, but he was just so good. And for a while it was syndicated on NPR, but I think that it was carried somewhere. I think it was later on VXU.
VXU, we also have, or I know you know this, we have, you're probably right, it probably is VXU, yep. 91 point, anyway, GUC as well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
Well,
yeah.
It's been off for now for quite a while. It started in like 75, and I think by 05 it was over. But they were the best scams. My favorite was that Congress was requiring Americans to turn in 4 book reports a year, the quarterly book report.
And it was just, that sounds so much
oh,
like
I know.
Jerry Galvin.
Exactly. And, of course, you know, Plummet Mall was just classic, obviously.
I want to say we had convenience stores here.
Of course
and,
you do.
This one chain, it was called King Quick.
Yes.
And they were the Quick brothers. Well,
right.
I think it was Jerry Galvin, you know, doing TV commercials
right.
dressed up like two guys.
Probably he and his brother. Probably, you know, because I think Gene was in the act too.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thank you for talking to me, and have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. No, Cincinnati was just, you know, just a market resplendent with talent. And, I think you can see the Quick Brothers on YouTube. Not sure, but, they were... CPO always used to run them. I'm sure that other people did as well. But the Quick Brothers. And I'll bet you they are on YouTube. But I think it was the same guys who did Buddy's Carpets. Now, of course, if you're from Cincinnati, you know what that might be. But I'm pretty sure that was it. But I'll bet you. Just go to YouTube and look for King Quick Brothers, and they'll be there. All right. So try to think who the guy used to love on All Nights, too. He had a great show. And, the Midnight Movie. Bob Shreve. That was it. Bob Shreve in the Midnight Movies. A lot of fun. So, all right. All right, the Doomsday Fungus. I think I'll hold off, because actually I think it's time for Walter's Perspective. We'll get back to fungus right after that. And Walter's Perspective, of course, is sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Well, I got a dip in China, place the old booty gone. So I took that old liner and I sailed for old Hong Kong. I was searching round the seaport and I caught at all the gay. They were trembling and shaking when they saw me, Charlie Chan, 'cause I'm a bad ding dong. And I always think of me. Cause I'm a bad ding dong. On a buffer, number one, eating fried rice, and an egg bouillon, sitting there feeling your stupid face, while your puppy go out and he stop the case, 'cause I'm a bad ding dong, and I'm a bad ding dong,
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Coasters. Well, of course, their last hit was in 1961, Little Egypt, and that was it. They had one other thing in 64, Tain't Nothing to Me, that did chart in the low 60s on the R&B and pop charts. But I thought Bad Detective, which also came out in 64, flip side was Lovey Dovey. But I thought it was a cute little record, and considering what else was out in 64, I'd have played it. But apparently that would have been just me. So there you have it, our theme tonight. Thanks to John, who is screening your calls, are all these detective-type records. So, of course, you know, J.M.O. Thomas is coming up next. All right, so let's get to the Doomsday Fungus Among Us. And actually, it's somewhat of a serious problem. It's also not quite what the tabloids make it out to be, of course, but why not? And it is a strain of Candida. It is a non-albicans strain. Candida is a fairly common fungus. You find it in the digestive tract of humans and everything else. And normally it's not a problem unless there's an overgrowth. And then the overgrowth can be quite problematic. Of course, most notably would be things like yeast infections. But not only. There were a number of things that would get into the blood that could make Candida pretty daunting. Usually not fatal. But certainly limiting, to say the least. It would not be a good thing. And of course, for the longest time, doctors dismissed it entirely. And then there was for a while a whole thing where everybody was kind of getting on the bandwagon. But you know, as far as treating it, well, that was a different issue all the way around. Now, fortunately, though some of the antifungicides are fairly potent, read into that kills your liver, but they tended to work. Now, what's happened now is a fungus that nobody knows was there, another form of Candida, is a non-albicans Candida, it's Candida auris. They never found this thing until about 5-6 years ago. So it's relatively new on the scene. And of course, you know how it is for medical tests, that when it comes to the results, they only get results on what they test for. If they don't know something's there, they don't test for it. Well, since about 2016, they've known Candida auris exists. What they found out is, the statistics become shocking until you scratch beneath the surface, is that 1 in 3 who contract it die. Now, let's back up and say, probably 3 out of 3 are tremendously immune compromised to begin with. So they're dealing with life-threatening illness apart from this. So it's not like, for the most part, you know, healthy guy walking down the street stricken by Candida auris and dies. It's even though the tabloids would like to make you think that it's threatening America and it's total doomsday, it is spreading at an alarming rate given for what it is. But when I say that, the state with the most cases of it last year was Nevada, that had 384. So I think California had 359, then Florida 349. And rounding out the top six, though, or I should say top five, is Illinois and New York. So it's happening, but you're talking about, you know, 300 people, not 300 thousands, to say the least. Now, how many people really get this? It's unknown because it's usually not diagnosed. It's not tested. And, you know, the symptoms are common to a lot of things like fever and chills. And you look at this, though, and again, you find very often it in terms of a hospital-borne infection, you know, nursing homes, things of this nature, where people are sharing facilities. Not only, but that's a lot of it. But in just about every case of this, somebody has a primary problem. This is secondary to it. But when they've got a primary problem like an autoimmune disease or, you know, organ damage or extreme high blood pressure or something, this could be very, very daunting. Now, what I really love, of course, is that everybody has to get in the act, and some people say it's because of climate change. The theory there, if you will, is that the fungus can survive in hotter temperatures and more saline environments, and therefore it can do better in the body. But no one knows that. Because, again, the bottom line is that no one really knows, was this part of the microbe that's common to the human digestive tract in general, and not obviously as an overgrowth? Well, it's hard to tell. But anyway, that's what you've got, the fungus among us. Now it's Candida auris. And as far as symptoms, well, the only thing I got out of that was chills and fever, reminding me of the Ronnie Love record. Meanwhile, Hollywood is capitalizing on the concept. It's not a show about Candida auris. They've got a fictionalized fungus that turns people into zombies. Of course it does. And it's based on a real-life mushroom, the zombient fungus, which has mind control powers over its insect host. Yes, a chemical attack that winds up manipulating brain behavior. Well, this particular mushroom that does exist can infect humans regardless. So, yeah, maybe in the future, but for right now, no, it can't. As far as Candida auris, yes, it can. So that's the doomsday fungus that is, in fact, threatening America, a fungus among us. But sure, the more you can do to keep your immunity in good shape, the better off you are, no matter what it is. Because very often, these are opportunistic things that people pick up because they're otherwise not in great condition. So I know it's eat right. Oh, the dreaded words, right? And I still say it's just unfair. If they put us in bodies, the least we could do is enjoy the pleasure of the body, eating in particular. But that's not necessarily the way it works. But nothing beats a good night of sleep as far as that goes. But there you have it. All right, so that's the doomsday fungus ravaging America. Yeah, all of 300-something people in a few states. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. We got another hour of this. And King Charles is sort of an interesting case here. Of course, you know, the tabloids thrive on every possible royal story, Harry being the most favorite topic these days. But with King Charles here, he actually fears he'll become a werewolf. So I know you want to hear the story about that. He also talks to plants, which is perfectly fine. I want to know are the plants answering, and we'll find out hopefully next hour. And in the meantime, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and we can change the topic entirely or go to more people behaving badly. Yeah, it was another one of those days. I hesitate to even bring up the stories that James sent, you know, another dozens and dozens and dozens of people behaving badly, but three teens throwing rocks at cars, killing a 20-year-old driver. Yeah, they've been arrested, but they apparently were at it all night in various locations, and I guess they didn't hit pay dirt until they killed a 20-year-old. So just makes you wonder, what were they thinking? Yeah, and that, I guess, is the word of the day for just about everything. What were they thinking? So we have a number of other things, too, in the tabloids, including, and it always bothers me when there are tons of stories on celebrities I've never heard of. I figure it's not that their celebrity isn't big enough. It's that I have absolutely no idea what's going on with anything anymore. Like I say, there people were asking me, well, what do you think of Don Lemon? And of course I say, who's Don Lemon? So yeah, I don't know. But we will pick out some that we do know, including how a number of people like Harrison Ford cheated death. Yeah. So it'd be better if they had a near-death experience, went to the other side and told us about it. But those are other stories, no doubt. I think that Sharon Stone does that with a certain amount of regularity. She's got a lot of those stories. But we've got a number, including, of course, Ozzy Osbourne, who is a death cheater just by definition on the surface, right? How he gets along is beyond, and I know he's not in good shape now, but beyond anything imaginable. So what do we have other than that? Well, got to stay tuned, I guess. Or pick your own topic. 888-876-5593 is 8888-ROLLEIGH. And let's see, Justin Bieber is begging Selena to bail out his wife, Haley. Well, that's interesting to me. Haley, actually, I think, is the granddaughter of Amir Deodato, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll have to look that one up because, hey, finally I know somebody, right? And yes, apparently Selena is publicly calling for fans to stop blasting bile at her arch-rival Haley Bieber, because Justin Bieber begged his old flame to rescue his wife. I'll have to find out if she's the same Haley. I think she is, though. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. So that's apparently a spat among stars or stars wannabe or something. Jessica Simpson, wasting away. All right, now here's where we need diet tips, because the last time I looked at a tabloid, Jessica Simpson was 240 pounds. Apparently now she's about 100. All right, maybe we'll look at that story too, or whatever's on your mind. Coming up next hour, right here on WGN Radio.
What? because you had your shades down low. You thought there wouldn't be no clue.
Yeah!
I got his name, I know his game. Just double O, you know who. Low and I spy for the FBI.
I spy for the FBI.
I spy, baby, for the FBI.
I spy for the FBI.
I got the facts in the file. Baby, I don't have to guess.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Jim O'Thomas, I Spy for the FBI, 1966, appropriately on the Thomas label, re-released again, and never much of a hit, but a lot of fun anyway. All right, King Charles. You can interrupt the show anytime, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. You know, I often think that when people have a variety of neurotic problems... Now, by the way, I'm not talking about psychoses. Obviously, for people who fight mental illness, it absolutely is an illness, and it's nothing to demean, and it's certainly nothing to condemn. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the garden variety neuroses, people who are just upset about this or that or the other thing. And I often think that these are people who never really woke up wondering where their next meal is coming from, because in the hierarchy of needs, when you're not sure what you're eating, it's no time to be introspective about whatever psychological drama you're going through. Now, with that in mind, if you are a royal, you're never going to worry about your next meal, that's for sure. And also, not to diminish what it must be like to be under that kind of a microscope all the time. But clearly, when it comes to being a royal, you're not going to worry about the day-to-day, how do I stay alive things. So it's no wonder that they have time to, well, go off onto tangents. And so, among other things, apparently King Charles is believing that he is being attacked by a werewolf. Yeah, and so that's not all, though. They say this is a secret battle of mental illness. No, his May 6th coronation coming up in just about less than 10 days, really, I think. The fragile royal is being eaten alive by fear and anxiety. Well, so he's terrified he won't be able to cope with crises. He's, worried that he'll have a meltdown and won't even be able to attend his own coronation. Apparently, Camilla is bolstering him. She's basically saying nonsense because, after all, she's been spending her life dreaming of becoming the queen, and she won't let anything stand in her way for that, so she'll prop Charles up no matter what it takes. And apparently, at the Easter service at St. George's Chapel, it was a deal where Charles showed symptoms of anxiety, wringing and clasping his hands as he entered the chapel. And the tension was visible, said body language experts. And Camilla was enraged. And so I'm not the least bit surprised there. And apparently the word is, of course, this is the tabloid word. This is the National Enquirer. So I leave it to you to decide fact from fiction. She said she'd been waiting her entire life to be, that he's been waiting his entire life to become king. So he better not screw it up. Yeah, better not screw it up for her. And so he's been talking to plants. He's wandering around his garden, chatting to the plants and to his assassinated uncle, Lord Mountbatten. And apparently he once launched a plan to wipe out gray squirrels by lacing Nutella with a chemical to kill their sex drive. Yeah, okay then. Now, see, I don't know. Talking to plants, that's fine. It's when the plants are talking back or giving you advice that you need to worry. Sleeping with his childhood teddy bear. Well, some would say that would be better than Camilla, so I'll leave that where it is. And Charles is also said to fear he may be a werewolf. That's right. He learned his ancestor was King George III. Well, he knew that. He just didn't realize he was suffering from the condition that makes you half man, half wolf. Porphyria, I think, is what they call it. So now that he knows that, he's afraid that he, too, is going to become a werewolf. And apparently his explosive temper and issues over Harry and Meghan have not been helping this. And Charles has been suffering secret emotional breakdowns. Okay, then. And werewolf. And so he's been medicated. And I'm not surprised. Yeah. And so a history of a mental illness through that particular line, that lineage. So there you have the latest saying. Only Camilla can save the day. She'll do it for herself, but regardless, she'll do it. All right. So that's the coronation coming up. I didn't pull it, but I did see a headline somewhere that apparently Harry's going, but not taking Meghan. So I have no idea what that could be about. All right. So now, those who cheated death. All right, like I say, I'll have to find the ones who, you know, had the near-death experiences. They'll undoubtedly be more interesting. But Harrison Ford was apparently. Well, what was the deal? I think that there were airplane issues with him. 80 years old, earned his pilot license 30 years ago, and has since chalked up multiple mishaps, including a near miss on a runway. But in 2015, he crash-landed on a California golf course. Broken arm, head injuries. And the NTSB says he was absolutely lucky to escape with his life. They didn't take his license, though. He's still flying. Tracy Morgan, comedian, went to the other side. All right, now we're talking. After the 2014 smash-up, he explains, "Do you know what God said to me? He said, your room ain't ready." All right, well, there's certainly words of knowledge for you. And apparently his luxury ride was rear-ended by a tractor-trailer in New Jersey, which caused Morgan to sustain a broken leg, nose, and ribs, and be in a coma for 2 weeks. That's when he met the Lord, who told him that his room wasn't ready. Simon Cowell, the America's Got Talent judge. This was a bicycle mishap, I think, and broke his back in several places and barely missed severing his spinal cord. Whoa. And then what did he do after that? Went bike riding again and wrecked again after he turned too fast on a wet road in London. All right, so we got Zac Efron, the former High School Musical hunk. Nearly fatal stint on reality TV. You can read about that in Papua New Guinea. Then several people I've never heard of, but of course Ozzy Osbourne definitely, and that was crashing his all-terrain vehicle. You can read it all in the May 1st issue of the National Enquirer, including Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know. It might have been a shark. Yeah, and Amy Schumer was a shark. Almost lost a leg because of a high school surfing session, but apparently she was fine. And actually, it wasn't a shark. She impaled her leg on her board's fin, her surfboard's fin, and thought it was a shark. All right, so I can't believe I'm going to die like this. Oh yeah, and so 41 stitches, and that was the deal. So, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, right here on WGN Radio.
Well, now there's a fella on the corner of the 9th and Main, and he's bad as he can be. He's the enemy of hoodlums and a teenage gang, and he's bad as he can be. Everybody knows him all around the coast, 'cause he's the toughest flat to put on the police force. In case you got
bad as he can be.
Now if you see him on the street, you better move on back, because he's
bad
as he can be. That cat's as grumpy as a tiger, and he will attack. You know he's
bad
as he can be. When he gives a mess, you better call an undertaker, or some poor fool's gonna meet his maker. Casey Cop,
bad as he can be.
Yeah,
one day Casey was on his beat.
Yeah, he heard a loud noise from down the street. So wow,
he pulled his gun to investigate. Saw my pretty boy Floyd's men were on the rampage. Tommy guns in every cop, blackjacks and a long crowbars, hand grenades under every coat. The men were gonna loot the town. The shot was fired,
the shot was fired into the air.
The gang stopped,
the gang stopped.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, LA's Elgins, not to be confused with Detroit's Elgins. And that was 1961 on Crest, Casey Kep. All right, corner 9th and Main. Lived 3 blocks from there for quite a while. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. I was reading about this lawsuit, and I'm going to tell you about it, but at the risk of being political, I'm not reading about it because of the political content, but it's a school thing, and I always find it interesting when schools set themselves up for lawsuits, and they sure did here. And apparently, this is a Michigan school, and a couple of students, and obviously their parents, are suing the school district. What? Over their sweatshirts. Now, let's pause and say that I knew no good would come of it when schools dropped dress codes. Yeah, when this will make me sound like the fossil that I am, but when I went to school, you girls couldn't wear pants and or open-toed shoes or anything like that, and boys couldn't wear jeans. And I mean, you had rules, like them or not. Yeah, and your skirts had to be able to touch the floor if you bent down on your knees, and all those kind of things. And then little by little, all this went away, where you could practically wear your bed clothes to school, and there was no problem. And one of the things that has come up since then is the kids who are wearing T-shirts, and very often the T-shirts or sweatshirts have slogans. Well, in this case, the school didn't think it through. Apparently, these kids came a couple years ago with Let's Go Brandon sweatshirts. And if you're unaware, Let's Go Brandon is a euphemism for F. Joe Biden. And this came up because a journalist was covering a NASCAR event, and the deal is that Brandon Brown won the race. This is 2021. But the crowd erupted with this Joe Biden chant, and the reporter saved it saying, the fans are shouting, "Let's go, Brandon!" And, I thought that was just terrific, because I can't tell you how many disc jockeys without a delay have had to go ahead and save themselves from what a listener might have said. My favorite years ago was one of those request and dedication type shows at night. This must have been like 1962, maybe. And the kid called in and suggested that the guy, the disc jockey, bury himself in a bucket of, whatever, excrement. You can pick it up. And without missing a beat, the host said, "A bottle of Schlitz, that's great. I think I'll have one when I get off the air." And of course, it was when I heard about the, Let's Go Brandon, I thought about it. But anyway, you knew that with politics being politics, that there were going to be sweatshirts. Okay, fine. And so here are these kids, and they're wearing these sweatshirts. Now, the school won't let them do it. Now, originally, the school said, "We won't let you do it because it's obscene, because we know what Let's Go Brandon means, and that's an obscenity, and we don't tolerate obscenities." If they stuck with that, they might not be in the mess they're going to be in, because the last time the kids, before the lawsuit was filed, were told you have to take off the shirts, it was because they said, "We don't allow political speech." This is the same school that allows Gay Pride Day and allows all sorts of things, LGBTQ T-shirts or whatever, and on and on. So there's a whole history of the school of allowing that. So, saying that, this is political speech and we ban that. So the lawsuit's coming. And I think it's going to be an interesting one all the way around. And I don't know how it'll come out. If you look at the Supreme Court, it will come out in the kids' favor. But maybe they really need to rethink dress codes overall, because I don't think you can single out Let's Go Brandon if you're not doing that with anybody else. But we'll see. Now, as far as school staffers behaving badly, oh man, have I got one for you. And this is Suburban in Annapolis, all right, and Brown Elementary School in Brownsburg, at special ed class. Oh, man. Now, not only are the perpetrators of this horror, and I'll give it to you, it is a horror, in trouble, but the three staff members who didn't report it are also in a lot of trouble. And I would think that everybody should be in a world of hurt. and I'll give you all the details. And bottom line is, I can't imagine if a parent found out about this that that parent isn't in jail for killing them all. You'll see what I mean. All right, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Olympics, of course they are. Interestingly, that's the flip side to Baby Helly Gully. In fact, it was the A side, 1959 on RV. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Karen, we'll get to Gary, we'll get to you. But yeah, you got to, this is so over the top. Like I say, though, I guess every night with some of these stories, but this is a grade school in Brownsville, a suburb, an exurb, if you will, of Indianapolis. And you got five people who are either charged with neglect or failure to report. The people with neglect are the teacher, who was 27-year-old female, and the aide, a 63-year-old female. And the failure to neglect were three females in ranging from 24 to 48 years old. And they all worked in the special education area. And so it is that we had a child who, and this was, I guess, a month or so ago, where there were issues, and the teacher told the student during lunch that if he vomited, he's going to have to eat whatever he threw up. Well, the child vomited on the tray provided by the teacher. The aide, when the child vomited, provided him a spoon. And they both said, eat it. And the kid did. Not entirely, but he ate some of it, then used paper towels to clean up what he didn't eat. And this is just so over the top. There were three other individuals, a teacher, an aide, and a behavioral tech, who witnessed it, and nobody did anything. And apparently, the school board learned of it in April. And they removed the five staffers from contact with student. They're all on administrative leave. And in fact, they've already started the termination process for the teacher and the aide. I don't know what's going to happen to the three who didn't report. But, you know, I don't know how this came to light. And it somehow came to life at a TV station. But I don't know who brought what or how it was able to come to life. But can you imagine being the parent of that child if you found out that's what they were doing while your child was supposedly in special ed classes? Yeah, I would hope that some charges are going to follow. Firing insufficient, a start but insufficient. But yeah, when I read this, and you know, again, people behaving badly, there are hundreds of these every night. But teachers commanding for kids to eat their own. Okay, I'm done. 888-876-5593. Karen in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio. Hey, Karen. We've lost Karen. All right. Wait a minute. No, we haven't.
Where?
There you are. Sorry about that. I lost you for a moment there, Karen. Sorry about that.
Oh, I had not been aware of that Let's Go Brandon thing. I didn't even know about it. And I'm fascinated by weird phrases and how they come about.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm fascinated by are the every year the dictionary, I forget who does it, comes out with a list of new words
for
the year.
Yes.
And how can you look those up? How can you find them? I hear them on the news, but I'm not in a position where I can write them down and research them. But how can you look them up?
Well, I think you can do any search, like new word lexicologists add to dictionary every year, something like that. I mean, just what you're saying to me is what can be used, you know. And so they usually have, like, dictionary.com will give you the new words for the spring of 2022, what's been published. And there were 235 new entries and 72 new definitions and 1,024 revised definitions. One of the things I hate, of course, is when they decide to change nouns into verbs, things of that nature. But when a word is added to the dictionary, it doesn't mean it's brand new to the English language. It might have been around for a while, but it just means that now it's time to get it in the dictionary. Now, of course, if this were French, they're not allowed to add words. So
made me aware of it, I was listening to somebody be interviewed one day, and the guy said, "Are you woke?" And I said, "What the hell did he say?" And I thought about that, and I knew he wasn't talking about, "Are you awake?"
No, of course
not.
Then
I realized, well, it's got to be something political.
Well, yeah, to woke culture, basically, have you become aware of whatever political topic is, you know.
Another thing that fascinates me are when you read people in some of these magazines, what these crazy movie stars and celebrities name their children. My God.
Well, that's nothing new. I mean, poor Moon Unit Zappa, when Frank Zappa.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. So that's nothing new. Let me go back to woke for a moment. The derivation of woke is African-American culture. And it meant being alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. But what's happened now...
Oh, I didn't know
that.
That was
the origin of the word. But now it's spread way from that to any type of social issue. Are you woke? Like, are you aware of what's going on with women and whatever? You know, all those kind of things.
Yeah, so, and I think it was regarding women's rights. And I was listening to an interview, and they came up, and I thought, oh, what the hell are they talking
about? Yeah, that's what it comes from, you know, a very noble, origin, actually, you know, which was a very real problem. And this is way back in the day, not that it's not going on today, but when it was formed, it was just being alert to prejudice. Because, you know, prejudice isn't always very obvious. And it can be very, you know that firsthand, I'm sure. It can be very subtle. So
you know what? I must be getting too old, Raleigh.
Well, I always say that. I say, actually, the phrase is, "I've lived too long."
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be the case.
I've lived too long. Exactly. But in fact, every day is a gift, and it's interesting to see what will happen.
And thank you for the information. You know that I collect quotations, and I have one that says, tomorrow is a mystery, yesterday is history, today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present.
I like it.
I got it from Mike Ditka. I don't know who actually said it.
I like it. Eleanor Roosevelt had it as one of her inspirational and motivational phrases. Now, I don't know if she, in fact, you know, originated it, but it was in one of her books.
I heard it from Mike Ditka.
Yeah, well, as I say, you know,
he was referring to what he used to tell the team. You know, to keep going. That was one of the things he used to tell them.
Well, sure, but if you used to see the old Family Circle cartoons, Bill Keane's little cartoon strip that was in the paper all the time, he had that there in the 90s, actually. But like I say, the first time I was aware of it was Eleanor Roosevelt, but I wouldn't be surprised that it predates that by decades and decades.
Oh, well, I really liked it, and I always remembered it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, and thank you for that information about dictionary.com. I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah, and there's many others. I mean, you know, whenever they do that revision, they always print the list, and it's funny to read that every year. So, you know, not hard to find.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You have a great weekend, and I'll be listening for trivia on Monday.
I'm counting on it. Thanks a lot, Karen.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you.
All right. So 888-876-5593. That would be 8888-Raleigh. And Linda, it's been a while in Richfield Park. What's going on, Linda?
Oh, I'm just calling in reference to that National Enquirer you were talking about.
Yeah.
Harry and Kamala Bowles.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Karma is coming back to him, and I'm happy. He was terrible to his lovely, beautiful wife, and
yep.
she died in a terrible way.
Yeah.
Now he can't do anything, and she wants to be the queen. And I'm just so happy that's never going to happen. If he keeps talking to the plants, he'll be out, and he will too.
Well, you know what?
I want to hurry up and get off the line. Someone else might be on the line.
Linda,
and
thank you.
I also want to make a comment
on
the lady that accused Emmett Till of whistling at her. She died today, and I hope she rots in hell.
There you are. All right.
Those two things I wanted to say, and I love your music. I'm going to let you go. Love your show. God bless you.
You too. Thanks, Linda. Okay, bye. Yes, indeed. Oh, I know. Well, you know, Charles is already in his own hell. He's stuck with Camilla. You know, every day is a form of a hell, don't you think? So we get to Stephanie and Madison and Gary and Austin, and I don't know if there'll be room for you tonight, but there's Monday Night Trivia coming up sooner than you know. That's right, Tom does fly, doesn't it? All right, one more bumper on John's theme tonight, and I think rather than cops and, you know, robbers, we're going to have a victim coming up on WGN Radio. James, and it's the waning moment, so there's probably no time for you. However, by the way, tomorrow night, it's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, so sit back and enjoy that show, especially if you missed it on Monday, because at the end of the show, you'll hear the question we threw out, which will be the straggler that will be the start of Monday Night Trivia this coming Monday. Stephanie and Madison, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I heard this story. That is a horror, by the way. Just, oh, my God. The story was covered on WGN about what happened to the little boy.
Yeah.
And that was all caught on videotape.
Yeah.
That's how they found out.
Who videoed it? And where did they send it?
I know. I have no idea.
Oh.
But that's how they found out about the incident. And what these people are doing and teaching children, you know, that is just the most inhumane thing I've ever heard. And I also want to second what Linda had to say about Carolyn Donham, the woman responsible for the death and torture and death of Emmett Till. Made my stomach turn. May she rot in hell.
She will.
And you and my husband have one thing in common. He played slots for years, loved playing slot cars. So,
That's great.
I will hang up because I know you're getting to the end. So, you have a great weekend, you and John, and all of you, and I will talk to you again.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
You betcha.
Yes, and I, too, second Linda's thoughts about Carolyn Donham. It was her allegations that led to the lynching of Emmett Hill. That was 1955. It's been quite a while. So she died, and yes, that's right, rest in pain. I think she will. I do believe that. I believe that everything equals out after the fact. I'm just convinced of that. So I can't imagine anyone will mourn this woman's passing. All right. Yeah. Celebrated is more like it. All right. So 888-876-5593. Gary in Austin's going to wrap it up tonight. Floor is yours, Gary.
Well, one thing I can say about the woman responsible for Emmett Till is she lived about 60 something years too long.
Oh, God.
But hopefully she had to think about it a lot.
Yeah, I hope it was a painful life. I mean, that's terrible to say, and I really hope that it is true that on the other side things work out as they should, because the fact that she actually was able to live and be free is just wrong.
Yeah. Well, I have a story of a dedication that went awry, and this occurred on the 79Q.
Okay.
When I lived in Dallas, the only place I could really listen to AM was at my job, which was at a radio reading service, so I had time to do that.
Yeah.
So I would listen to 79Q, and they had a guy on at night. He was a weekender filling in.
Yeah.
And he did stay there for years, several years after this occurred. But so the song Faithfully was requested, and this young woman was doing the dedication, and she was dedicating it to everybody, and the vocal continued, started, and she was in the middle of dedicating. And finally she stopped her dedication. He said, "Well, you effed that one up."
Oh, my God.
Except he didn't. I had to clean it up. I just fell out. I just.
Oh, my God.
And they were at the top of the signal, too. It was, it was faded up as good as it ever got.
God.
It was just so funny.
Oh, man, that's great. Wow, man, the old KULF, may it rest in peace. Who would have expected that?
Yeah, that was it. Before they bought 92.9.
Yeah, exactly.
So they were still 79Q.
Yes, yes. No, I remember it well. Oh, man. That's a great story.
I used to love listening to that station at work, because I couldn't really get them at home.
Well.
Because I had all sorts of interference from my...
everything
EC or whatever.
Yes, from
apartment.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yes. You ended the note on a high note. That was a great story, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, oh, man, that's good. All right, so we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, you for calling. I hope you'll do it again. We'll do Monday Night Trivia coming up on Monday. It's a replay tomorrow night. Don't call. Enjoy the show. Talk to you Monday night. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.